You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series. This week, we celebrate the one-month anniversary of the 30-year anniversary of the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Hey, Vank.
Hey, Sean.
Well, it's officially winter in Wisconsin now.
Oh.
It's below freezing. There's been a little bit of snowfall, at least where I live. And I was outside today looking at Christmas lights, and I was wearing snow pants. In fact, I'm still wearing the snow pants because they're nice and cozy.
Well, about a week ago, we migrated from being able to wear t-shirts outside. So,
yes, I'm familiar with Japanese winter. Air quotes.
We're in South Japan. I mean, right. it's different, and it's still not. The thing is, the people who come here from like Texas and things, they think it's incredibly cold here. So, it's all relative.
Yeah, I would quite often wear t-shirts when I was studying abroad, and they would, I would often get asked "Samui," and be like, "Nope, I'm good. I'm from Wisconsin."
I mean, you know what they were doing, right?
They're telling me to cover up my grotesque pale arms.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. They weren't worried about your comfort. They were worried about their comfort, as they were not comfortable seeing a foreigner's pasty white arms.
See, I understand. I understand the cultural divide a little bit.
Yeah.
But apart from being winter, we also have new videos.
New videos?
New videos.
Wow. Now it does feel like Christmas.
Nice.
Wait. Videos?
Oh, yeah. We've had a handful, but most recently we had one, a new Dojo snack. And then before that, we had one about the Nintendo Entertainment System.
You're right. That is two videos for this interval of time.
Yes, since the last Denchi Mail.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Gosh, that's really good. I mean, and we shouldn't be so surprised.
Because we did all the work.
We did all the work. Yes, but I mean, I don't know. I guess we're doing it a little different. We used to kind of save them up for a long time. And then, release them all at once with a summer dojo or a winter dojo or something like that. But I don't know. I think it's nice that some of them just kind of just pop out. And if we can have a couple in a row, that's even better.
Exactly. Yep. Our stats bear out that fact.
Yep. And I mean, I think this is motivation for anybody who's not subscribed to our channel yet, because they come out very irregularly, so be subscribed so you don't miss any.
That's at youtube.com/FamicomDojo, or just go to our website. Yep. You'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, we got lots of links. It appears to be difficult for people to send us money, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I nearly need to find out what's going on. So, someone tried to donate because the last full episode of the podcast came out last too, actually. And, after that first one, they wanted to give us money. And it's like, great. And I just go to littlepodcast.com. But apparently, something's going on. So, yep. Yeah. The links, the drop down's gone. So, I will probably edit that out of future episodes until this gets restored. Yep. But, if you do want to sponsor, you can send a donation to, sales@thatsorange.com. That's a PayPal link.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes.
And, thank you, by the way.
I see what's going on here. There's a donate button. There's a donate button, under each show.
Okay.
So I think what the problem is I was supposed to get someone that button information, and I didn't do it. So it's all on me.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully by the time you hear this, that will have been fixed, but one never knows.
But let me just thank anybody who is who has sponsored us in the past or is thinking of sponsoring us now. That really, really helps us just to cover the cost of this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it makes us more confident to get guests, such as last week's guest. Go listen to the episode. It's pretty good. I imagine it's pretty good.
Yes. In my mind, it has been going to be great.
Yes. Man, tenses are hard, aren't they?
They are. They are.
Okay. Okay. Videos. So
let's talk about yours first.
All right. Mine.
I mean, ours. They're all ours. They're all ours.
We love
and
all
my
of our
hand,
children.
My
equally.
Hand was in it.
Yes, you literally had a hand in it.
Yes, I had a hand in that video.
End of phase, because we use a clip from Don't Blow It.
Ah, that's true. That's true. Just like how you were in VinCon.
That's right. Yes. Yes. So we wanted, someone wanted to get some kind of NES-based video done for the 30th anniversary, which is officially October 18th.
Yeah.
For reasons that we'll get into later. But it did not get done on time, and it slipped a little bit more. I wanted to get it out by October, and that didn't happen. So it ended up coming out on the one-month anniversary of the 30th anniversary on November 18th. So that worked out pretty well. That was a Wednesday, and we usually release videos on Wednesdays.
Yeah. So I liked this video a lot. It's different. It's different from a lot of our normal style. It's much more straightforward and fact based. But I think it's a great little overview right there.
Weirdly, we had never actually talked about the NES specifically before. Like, we've talked about it in relation to Famicom based stuff, but we've never actually did like a Famicom Dojo style overview of the NES before.
Yeah, which is kind of odd. I guess at the time it was so thought that like the people who were viewing our videos would already be familiar with the NES, you know, and we mainly were trying to show the Famicom, which we thought people wouldn't be familiar with. But like as time goes on and our viewers get younger, this is new stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There are literally people who were much much younger who are now adults who were not adults when they started watching us. That is
oh
a fact.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, yes. I mean, at least they've been born. You know, we haven't hit that point yet. But oh boy, they definitely weren't around when the NES was around. But this is done in the style. If you watched the family computer video that we did as part of the Winter Dojo, that it's done in that style, and it's basically both a way to kind of round up everything we've talked about. For both of those consoles up until this point, and also to sort of tease things that we have in the pipeline, things that we've talked about working on or are actually working on.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we enjoy having some of the episodes with like themes and with, as we've been told in our things, attempts at comedy. But sometimes it's good to just have one that, just gets right to the meat of things, and I think these would be videos that we'd recommend people watch before they watch our other videos, because they're just overviews of some things that we don't actually delve into much, because we just kind of assume them to be common knowledge, and maybe they aren't. So,
yeah, that reminds me too that I actually showed both of these videos at DaishoCon, which I was at in the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Oh, I never really heard much of how that went.
It went pretty well. I really could have stood to practice my spiel a bit more, because I literally wrote it 2 days beforehand because I was getting this video up like just that same week. But it went pretty well. I mean, we sold some DVDs, and
nice.
I should probably deposit the money for that.
I'm never gonna see any of that money.
Oh, someday if we get this Kickstarter going, right? There were people who were very interested in the topic, it seemed. And there was a YouTuber who was on before me, whose name totally escapes me right now. Shoot. Maybe I'll insert here. It was Sky Williams.
Look, oh, I love that guy.
Right? Yeah. So he has a pretty interesting things to say about social media presence and being on YouTube and whatnot. Called Facebook a wasteland, I believe, which, despite the exposure we get, like we did promote our promo for this video on Facebook, and it got quite a few, it got over, I want to say 3,000 views for the promo, and like 20,000 exposures and like 21 clicks on the video. And just so you know, 3,000 at this point is more than the actual video has gotten itself. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I think Facebook is a tool like any others, and it's Facebook's not what it was before, but you know, it is what it is, and we appreciate very much everyone who supports us on Facebook, even if it is indeed a wasteland. But you know what? Wasteland is like my favorite Apple II game.
Right? And that Mad Max movie was pretty good too. So
yes.
You got to go with that. Thanks again to Game Dave for helping to share that video, which I'm sure we will have done thanked him before now.
I intend to have thanked him by this point.
Good Lord.
Should we explain this?
Yeah, we're recording this one before the episode with him.
Yes, which will be last week's episode.
I think so. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it'll wait. How about it'll wait? I do have the audio from that Daishokan panel that I want to try and do as like a This American Life or like what's the other one? Or like a Radiolab style thing. So we'll see if that works out, and it'll come out around Christmas, which I think will be when we're gonna have to take a break anyway. Even though we just came back, but you know, I can't. We released an episode the week of Thanksgiving, so that Thanksgiving was the day before. So that helped. But New Year's and Christmas are gonna be on Fridays this year, so.
Oh man, I'm getting confused.
Right.
the timing on this. Hold on. I think Western Union's at my door. They have a telegram from you. Sorry, had to get the Back to the Future reference in.
Oh, good Lord. Maybe I'll just release them early. We'll see how that goes. Okay. We'll see how that goes. But so that was our Nintendo Entertainment System video. Please watch that on our YouTube channel, Famicom Dojo, and we will talk about our other video, which, like the preceding podcast, isn't actually up yet.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
As we record this.
So thank you all. Thank you all for your positive comments, and curse you, one guy who always comes on within the first 10
without
minutes of us uploading
fail.
A video and gives it a negative. Yes. the dislike, which I believe is our biggest fan, really, because
no one's that consistent.
No one is that consistent, but you know, yeah, always within, right when we put it up, someone really, really wants us to know that they dislike how we're doing things. But for all of you who aren't that guy, or for that guy, and you're probably listening to us right now, you know what? We're glad to know that you care enough to come. You know? Thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway, for everyone else, I hope you liked it. I'm anticipating the first complaint will probably be that it is a bit schmaltzy.
I love a bit of schmaltz in my videos.
But this was a compilation that originally I was going to put a few different videos in it. I was originally going to do a Dojo Snacks all about game audio. Because I'm really into finding like on old cartridges, like 16, 8-bit cartridges, really long audio clips, like sung openings, voice acting, things like that. I'm really getting into that right now. And I've actually found a couple other things, and I'll probably have another Dojo snack up next week once I edit it together about a Game Boy Advance game that I found that
Ooh.
Has a fully, sung opening, and another one that is that all of the cutscenes are voiced.
Wow.
And neither of them have been released outside of Japan, so I think that'll be pretty interesting. But I've got to figure out what I want to do with it, whether I want to release them as Dojo Snacks or if I want to put it all together as a larger video. So I'm just going to see what kind of footage I get and take it from there. But that's something I'm working on right now.
Awesome. See, all the better reason to make sure that you're following us on Facebook as well as listening to this podcast.
Yep. But two of these snacks had previously been on Facebook, the one about the Capcom cell phone charger and the disappointing Yo-Kai Watch DVD and candy box, which was I didn't know if that one would ever be one of the regular, I mean, it was a dojo snack, but I didn't know if it was going to get into the YouTube video just simply because my room is so messy in that one. It's kind of embarrassing.
Oh, no.
It's a little bit cleaner now, but it's always in a state of somewhat because I am constantly moving stuff around because I've actually reached kind of the holding capacity for games in the room as it's set up right now. So every time I get new boxes of games and have to add them into the thing, I've got to take a lot of other stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my problem. And also my greatest accomplishment. So
exactly. Wait.
Well, come on. I have too many games to fit in a room that has the capacity to hold thousands of games. That's a pretty big accomplishment.
That is a word you can use for that, yes.
And shame. And shame.
Piles and piles of it.
It's a shame accomplishment. That there's a new clip that was never intended to be a dojo snack either. In fact, if I had known I was going to put it in the dojo snacks, I wouldn't have made a Facebook post spoiling it earlier.
Oh, no.
The Facebook post I'm talking about is my daughter's artwork.
Ah, yes.
But maybe it's good to have kind of higher resolution versions there. I've been working really, really late these last couple weeks. I've been coming home, 8 or 9 o'clock at night after being gone all day. And my daughter's taken to writing me letters or drawing pictures for me and wrapping them in little envelopes. So I have something waiting for me when I get home in case she's already sleeping or if she's still awake, she'll give them to me. And she says those are to make me happy. Yeah, I know. It's really, it's really touching and it's also, but yeah, if I can get through the next couple of weeks, it'll be a lot easier with work. We're planning for our Christmas events and things right now. So it's pretty, pretty busy, but anyway, that's going on. And, like they often have a theme. Like one time she did all the characters from Snoopy. And another time, she often draws, you know, family pictures too, and things like that. She did, but yeah, she did all these characters from Mario, and then I was like, she was telling me about them, and I'm like, you've got like a really, you know, she was saying it very clearly, and I'm like, come in here, come in my room, I'm gonna record this. And she did it all very much like she was introducing a podcast statement. You know, she introduced herself first, and then went about what she was doing, you know. I thought that was pretty cool.
See, I mean, the Japanese education system must be just miles ahead. Sorry, kilometers ahead.
Kilometers ahead. Wow.
Streets ahead.
Wow. All right. Wow.
If you don't get that reference, your street's behind.
That's all right. Anyway, moving right along. And then there's the last clip, which I wasn't sure if I wanted to include or not. I was looking for something because there's, yeah, I mean, you guys all know this who watch, especially the videos done by me, that the screen goes black for a while. And then there's, if you care to continue, there's something else at the end. A lot of our early videos did that. Most of our videos still do that, right?
Yeah, they do. Most of them do. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not everything. A lot of the recent ones haven't been, but usually there's something else if you stick around after the credits and stuff. I was looking for something to do with that, and I found there was a couple clips of various things, and I was like, and then there's this one that was recorded. It was on my phone, and I'm just like, This was never recorded to be part of Famicom Dojo. But I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny with the bouncing sumo wrestler. So
that was
And if anybody's wondering what that other costume is, that's a Jibanyan from Yokai Watch.
I was at DaishoCon, so I'm pretty sure I saw things like that walking around.
Oh, I'm sure. But this was in a public street, but it was pretty near Halloween, so, and it was foreigners, so I mean, foreigners do stuff like that, you know. nobody's gonna be too concerned.
That's right.
Oh those foreigners.
So, shall we take some questions?
Let's
If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast at famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show.
You want to read first? Or?
Yeah, let's go to our email. Well, I guess our video comments first. Showed up in our email, too. Going back to the NES, Jeremy Gilbreck says, as he wrote this, so if the grammar doesn't make sense, don't blame me. Isn't somewhat debated whether or not Super Mario was actually a launch title or a slightly later release? Well, Jeremy, that's a good question, because the actual release of the Famicom itself is not exactly set in stone.
No. No, this is not science.
That's a Famicom or NES? Who knows?
Both.
Both.
Either? I don't know. But it wasn't it? This is potential for Vink was wrong here. But I mean, I think the NES was originally released in a few selected test markets.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, New York being one of them.
Yeah. To pin down the actual launch is a little tricky, because it looks like it was a bit staggered coming out. Nintendo has chosen for official purposes to choose a date, but the date that things actually hit different stores, and I've heard differing reports that like not all the launch air titles were available in all places at the same time. So some of it also depends on what stores were ordering. There is some credence to the idea that Super Mario Brothers was not their launch day, but it was close enough that it's usually considered within the launch, not even launch window, but like closer. What would be more? Launch porthole. There, it's a smaller area than a window.
Well, basically, by the time the NES was widely available in 1986, which is when my friend got it at the time when I played it, not most of the games were out by that point, I believe.
But I mean, I think that's a very valid comment, though. I think I'll need to look into it a little bit more, see if I can find out a bit. But I'm not just going to – different sources say different things, and I'll see what I can figure out.
That also reminds me, too, that that sequence where we show all 17 launch titles probably took about as much time to finish as the rest of the video put together.
Yep. I saw runs of the video just missing that clip months ago.
Uh-huh. Yep. So
it was worth it, though. That is one of the nicest, slickest looking sequences I've seen in one of our videos.
Yeah, and even despite that, someone made the comment that that video reminded them of like an early 2000s style, and they meant it as a compliment. And I don't know how to take that still.
You know what? I think that's kind of what we're going for, though.
Okay, sure.
Ish. I don't know. I mean, we're old.
Yeah.
You know?
We can run for president.
Oh, good. Well, we could, couldn't we? I don't want to be president.
Yeah, me either.
I think I'd make way less videos. Can we? I'm already not making enough videos. If I was president, I can only imagine that would cut into the time more.
Can we both be like co-vice presidents? Is that like a thing?
Sure.
All right.
Sure. Vice presidents don't do much.
Except have wonderful lampoons in The Onion. Oh, that crazy Papa Joe Biden.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
One of the main purposes of the vice president is to break a tie in the Congress, Senate.
In the Senate, yes.
Whatever. But if there were two of them, theoretically, we could still tie.
Oh, no.
So we need a vice president. And not two, just one. I don't think we thought this through.
Oh, my God. It's turtles all the way down.
Okay.
Yeah, move on. Next question.
Move on. Okay. This is from Lena, and it was left actually during our last podcast, but we didn't get to it while we were still recording it. But it's just, did Sean finally play Splatoon?
Well, as of our episode 126, that we have answered that question.
We have.
It was my future retro.
Yep. So. Yep. Good. Let's keep moving on.
Okay.
Nicholas Patrick writes, do you think that this Direct is any improvement over E3 2015's digital event in regard to satisfying the hardcore gamer for the home console market? No. I mean, I guess it's an No.
No.
Like hardcore gamer? No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think there were any. I mean, most of the titles introduced were, more casual titles. You know, we had the tennis game. We had, I think for hardcore titles, anything now is going to be on the NX. No. I don't think we've seen any title for the Wii U of a hardcore nature that. Like, I don't think there's going to be anything we haven't already been announced. Like, as we're recording this, Xenoblade is still a few days away, and that one's going to come out. And Zelda Wii U, I would call that a hardcore title, even though I think it has a lot of casual appeal as well. But I think anything else that's going to get released in the Wii U's lifespan is going to be more of... Captain Toad or Kirby or some kind of spin-off-y thing, something that can be put together pretty quick. I guess it's possible that Project Giant Robot or Project, what is it, Guard? Project Shield? Guard? I don't know. The ones that Miyamoto is working on. It's possible that one of them could turn into something bigger, but knowing what Miyamoto usually does, lately... are a lot more casual things. So, I mean, those are the only outliers I can see. But other than that, I think pretty much Nintendo's keeping its cards kind of close to its chest and preparing for the next generation.
Yeah, my favorite game of the Direct was a HD remake of a game I haven't played in 20 years or 10 years.
And actually, let me backtrack a little bit. That was an announcement that I think would appeal to the hardcore. So, yeah, I guess we did get that.
Hardcore Zelda fans, I guess. I mean, I haven't even played Wind Waker HD yet.
I mean, the hardcore Nintendo fans are kind of the hardcore Zelda fans. I mean,
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, well then, maybe answering no was a little too fast, but I felt that it was a better Direct in general. But I'm not sure if I'd go and say it fulfilled what hardcore gamers were looking for.
Fair enough.
Okay, then let me read this. This is from Elijah Clark, and he says, what are your guys' thoughts on the first generation of Pokemon games coming to Virtual Console? I know you guys aren't really into Pokemon, but I think that this was much needed as younger audiences can experience the older games as well as veterans of the original generation, all without having the hassle of buying a Game Boy and the cartridge or resorting to emulation. I still think cartridge is still the way to go, though.
Except the batteries are all dead or dying.
Well, yeah. I mean, I will tell you, I have a number of Japanese Pokemon carts here, which are older than the American ones, and most of them are still working. But
that's good. Yeah. Mine still works too.
But yeah, in a couple of years from now, we'll have a different conversation. And I think this is a great way to release a game. I love this because I think that the very purpose of digital titles should be to be able to have experiences that, what I don't like about a lot of digital games is that they become the only way to play a game. But with Pokemon, right. Like, for someone who really wants to continue playing the cartridge game with the link cable and stuff like that, you get a cartridge, you open it up, you put a new battery in, you're good for another 20 years, And those cartridges aren't going to go away. They're still going to be around. But for those who don't want to take the hassle of doing that, this is a wonderful way for them to experience it. And Nintendo didn't just go and release the game and say, well, you can play Pokemon, but no trading features because no link cable. Oh, well. You know, they actually made a way for it to for it to work. And the price is not unreasonable. So I think it's a great way. Agreed. I just wonder if younger kids would have the patience to play an old black and white Pokemon game. I think that's the bigger question. And I'd be interested to hear an answer. If any of you have kids and you've put this game in front of them, can they do it? Is it too archaic? Then again, Pokemon hasn't really changed all that much.
That reminds me that I just saw on Facebook that this new Digimon series appears to be geared towards Digimon Adventure Tries for all the adults who grew up watching Digimon. That is the Kotaku headline there. So I'm sure they're a bit less worried about pulling in new audience with this when they have new Pokemon games for that.
And I don't know. It's interesting. I live in Kyushu, and Pokemon is not as big as Yo-Kai Watch is here. But apparently, Japan-wide, Pokemon's still the bigger series. But I don't know, around this area, it's all.
So
it's
they
all
want you to think Hokkaido.
Well, I mean, level five is a Fukuoka company. So I mean,
oh, interesting.
They do a lot of sponsoring for local things. You know, we have the Level 5 Arena and things here, and they yokai watched up a train that was running between Fukuoka and I don't remember where, but you know, nice. They put all kinds of yokai watch decorations on and had special events, and you know, it's a really, really big thing here. And I wonder how it's going to do in the States. I really do. I'm did you pick it up?
No, I didn't.
I think I'm gonna, my brother's going back to Wisconsin for Christmas break. And I think I'm going to have him bring me a copy of that back.
Right on.
And maybe some Famicom Dojo DVDs to sign.
It's been a year since you were here.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Oh, man. Winter Dojo. Yeah. Almost a year ago.
I know.
Oof.
It's hard to believe, man. It's hard to believe. Anyway, great questions. Why don't you start reading some of the new ones we just got today?
All right. Paul Spicknall writes in again, as he wrote in last week. Because I remember these things. This isn't a question so much as a comment, but I appreciate it all the same. So just wanted to say that after hearing Sean talk all about the Mass Effect series, I went out and bought the games and can see why he claims it's so good. Claims. I want to thank you for pointing me in the direction of that series that I would have otherwise overlooked. Well, you're welcome. I thought I was going to take a turn there with the claims part, which I already commented on in the actual thread. Good. I'm glad that there's a new fan, unlike some people I can name on this podcast.
Actually, just wait a second.
Sure.
Wait a second, Paul. I feel you, brother. I really do, because I also purchased the first Mass Effect this week for Xbox 360. Yes, I'm giving it another chance because that was the deal. And I'm glad Sean hasn't called me on this yet, but the deal was that if he gave Splatoon a try, I had to give Mass Effect a try. So I've picked up the 360 version, which I think is the way I'm going to go, because then I can play through the whole thing with data transfer saving over. And my 360 is in my game den right now. The PlayStation 3 right now is on the family TV, and I don't think Mass Effect is really something I want to play with the kids around. So
yeah, no.
So I do want to give it another shot, and I really think that I liked how it looked. I liked the production values of it, but starting with the third game on Wii U, I just had no idea what was going on or why I should care about any of the characters, because I'm like doing this comic book thing, choosing the character. I'm like, okay, I like this character. Oh, and now they're dead, you know?
Yeah. Some of the big moments are kind of spoiled for you, but I guarantee that if you go through them, it will not feel any less dire.
Luckily, it's been long enough since I tried it. It's been over a year since I tried it. So I haven't I don't really remember all the decisions I made or exactly how the plot was working itself out. So I think enough time has passed where I'm going to give it a try again. So,
okay.
So Paul, let's play Mass Effect.
Sweet. updates. Keep us updated on the Facebook page.
I will
page.
Keep you updated. Oh, Paul.
Both of you. Both of you.
Okay, both of you. Made right. A custom character. Looks cool. Okay. All right.
All right. Next.
Okay. So we do with Tyler James Lucas. He writes, "You guys have been doing an awesome job." Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I just started watching earlier this year and binge watched and listened to your back catalog.
Oh, boy.
there's a lot there.
I mean, he knows that Jessica Jones came out after Thanksgiving, right? I'm just saying.
Listen, if you're going to binge watch something, it should be, you know, it should probably be Jessica Jones. But after you're done with that, I haven't watched it yet.
Is it out on Japanese Netflix?
It is. It hit the same day. Nice. Japanese Netflix is doing really, really well with the new stuff. They're having trouble getting the back catalog in, but anything new hits pretty much the same day. So,
awesome.
Again, that's another thing that I would be watching right now if I wasn't podcasting, actually. because the kids are out of the house right now. That's okay. Anyway, I just wanted to see if you guys collected anything else or had a hobby you were serious about other than gaming. Oh, I've seen Vink showing off some of his Laserdisc stuff. Yeah, that's true. If you guys could delve into something like that, really like to hear what got you into that hobby and what your favorite aspect is. Can't wait to support your Kickstarter. Need to get that Series 1, Series 2 pack. Thank you, and we're sorry that's taking so long.
Yes, that will still happen. We just need a little more prep time because it's a lot of work and there's only the two of us.
Yep. And Sean's hobby right now is writing and rewriting Kickstarter text. That's
it's true.
That's his main hobby. gosh, I think there's no hiding that I've been a kind of classic sci-fi geek. Kind of the more obscure stuff. Let's see. Anything else? Well, Sean, go for your hobbies. You've got a couple of them.
I think the biggest one is probably my Transformers collection, which I have been doing since about 1998, when the second season of Beast Wars was airing, going into the third. That's when I discovered that there was still a Transformers series and there were still toys on the shelves. Yep. And because I had this, you know, like post-traumatic obsession with the animated movie from 86. And so I got into that whole fan scene and ran Transformers website called tfboogaloo.com, which is still out there. But most of the content is gone except for the fanfic I wrote with Trey.
Most of the content is gone?
Yeah, it was kind of in its own little subsection and that ended up getting kind of pulled in favor of, I was going to retool it and then never got back to it like back in 2004 or so.
But I mean, does the content still exist? Do you have a backup somewhere?
Yeah, I can put it back up, but it's really out of date now. But
I was in one of those.
Which one?
Someone is falling through space or in time or something.
Oh,
and I am a minor character in one of those fanfics.
Oh, one of the fanfics. Yeah. The fanfics are up. They're just not accessible because of some changes to the PHP code. Anyway, if you go to Trey's website at trhonline.com/BMLE, I think you can find it if you go to his website.
I feel bad, but other than that one, which was pointed out because I was in it, I've never read any of them. So sorry.
That's perfectly fine. But yeah, Trey did mention that in the episode of Nerd and Tie that Vink was on, that we also included in the feed a little while ago. So you probably heard the mention to that. But now you can read it if you go to either of our websites if you really aren't that interested. But apart from that, I've been buying them still. I bought the combiners that came out, like the new not Devastator, but I guess those are still on the shelves somewhere. Defensor, the Stunticons, was that Menasor and the Aerial Bots, and those were not cheap. So, in addition to playing video games, I spend money on plastic, which is why like Legos are an interesting toys to life thing for me because you can do something with them outside of the game.
Okay. For me, gosh, nothing really. I mean, not recently, at least. For collections or anything like that. When I was a kid, I collected coins and baseball cards. I never really cared for baseball or watched them, but it was just a thing to do. You know? Let's see. What else? But the whole card collecting thing, I kind of continued. I was into Magic the Gathering for a while. And I occasionally, like every 5 years or so, I'll spend a couple months where I'm into it again. And the most recent time was when the Duels of the Planeswalkers game came out for consoles, and I was playing it on. And then I was like, I need to buy some actual cards. And I bought a bunch of actual cards. And then I'm like, I need to find someone to play with. And there was nobody who played Magic. So I didn't really... That kind of died off quick, but I don't know if I didn't really collect them so much for value or anything though, which is too bad because my cards are in really rough shape because I never cased them for play. I just shuffled them into a deck, you know, because I enjoyed actually playing the game, and but I don't really collect anything anymore other than the aforementioned laser discs, which is a very strange hobby. But that's because I think that's because a hobby of mine is me in general. I mean,
sure.
I probably listen to about 10 to 12 hours of podcasts every week during commutes. So I listen to a lot of podcasts beyond just ours and some of our friends' podcasts. But, you know, I also listen to some of the famous ones, Radio Lab, This American Life, Stuff You Should Know, things like that. So, and a lot of stuff on Maximum Fun Network to plug those things. But you shouldn't listen to them. You should only listen to us. No, I'm just kidding. I think Laserdiscs, just the idea of, I don't know, that time period, there's something about, the majority of Laserdiscs are like 80s and 90s movies, that's, you know, that's when I was really into movies, that's when I was, you know, going to school to go into video production and things like that. That was my idea. A lot of these movies were things that inspired me. And I originally got into Laserdisc because it was cheap, because I got into there in the late 90s. And at that point, DVD was on the market. So people were selling off Laserdiscs for $2-3 a pop, whereas DVDs at that time were $30. And so I kind of got into it that way. But it's evolved into really liking the aesthetic. And some of the amazing artwork, and the fact that a lot of the Laserdiscs have never been re-released, or when they get DVD releases, a lot of original music or soundtrack elements were taken out due to copyright or licensing issues. So
thanks, Wonder Years.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a very strange hobby to have, but I don't know. It's unique and. Just like me. Do you still collect comic books, Sean?
Oh yeah. I mostly the ones I buy are the Transformers ones. And not because I have so obsessed with the toys, but I think it's actually one of the best written series out there right now. Apart from delving into some kind of like deep lore of like what like biology, religion, society of like a bunch of sentient robots would actually look like if it were real. It's just some of the most cleverly written and dense, like it'll take me a good long while to read, a comic. It's not like one of those ones where you get through, like, you know, it feels like you have these a dozen 2-page spreads in a row and then it's over and you have to like wait for part two, you know, and then you buy six of these and it's like barely a coherent story. Whereas like every single issue of these comics, like it can take a minute to read or more to read an entire page just because there's so many panels on it and it just flows so well. Very satisfying experiences, and I've been buying them for, 3 years now as my primary comics source. Yep.
And that's why Sean's our comic guy, because I never got into them when I was a kid, and still now. I mean, I read manga for a while in college, and occasionally still now, but I never really got into comics. The last comic I read was the bound Watchmen, which I enjoyed, and I would like to get into. I'm a big Neil Gaiman novel fan, but I haven't read his comics, so I'd like to try to read some Sandman. It's expensive to get this stuff in Japan in English, but actually, I'm going to put this out there for podcast listeners. I haven't read many comics ever. What would be a good one to start with? Something that I can get cheaply, like not one that has a history that requires a huge investment of old ones. What would be nice is something that's already kind of bound in a compilation volume or something, but I'd love to know some ideas because I've been thinking of giving comics a try lately, so would love some recommendations.
Awesome. With that, we should probably get going so that we can record our podcast with Game Day, which is already totally out and in the feed. You should listen to right now if you haven't already.
It was so good.
It was so good.
I mean, it definitely will be so good.
I imagine that it will have been so good.
Yes. And if your question didn't get read this podcast, we'll try to, if they're relevant, we'll try to hold them over to the next podcast. So if you see this thread going on, even after you've listened to this podcast, feel free to add on to it, and we'll try to get your questions in there. And if you really want to make sure your question is asked, tweet it to us. Then we'll definitely see it, or send us as a message on Facebook, or where can they email us?
Podcast@famicomdojo.tv.
There you go.
Or call us at 608-492-1923 and leave a voicemail.
We haven't gotten a call for a while.
We haven't. We should.
That would be great.
I think there were a few that we got that we'd never played, and maybe that's part of the problem.
That could be part of the problem, yes.
All right, so I guess until next time, the dojo is?
Available on VHS, Laserdisc, VHD, and CED.
No VCD?
VCD is way later, man.
Famicom Dojo.
Oh, wait, did I say DVD?